morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to everyone. I'd like to welcome each of you to our divine service. I'd like to welcome those of you that are streaming live in the internet. I greet you with a happy Sabbath here from California, Colton, California. Welcome to our service this morning. I'm going to kneel that we can ask the Lord to guide us as we study His Word, that He will give us a clearer revelation of His will for us this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in Heaven, we are once again grateful and thankful for the opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. This morning, Father, I pray that this service and Your words will lift Your name upon this earth. Guide my lips, my thoughts, my words that comes directly from Your throne. Send Your mighty and holy angels now to surround this place. And thank You, Father, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And if you're there, say amen. Amen. Our title this morning is, The Time is Fulfilled. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, starting at verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of salvation. But not only did He come to preach the gospel, He says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, as I started to study this, the Lord started to show me from the Bible and from the spirit of prophecy what it meant. Believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. One text that comes into mind is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Don't turn there, because our basis is here in Mark and in Matthew. But of course, the one in Matthew says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and some of these things shall be added unto you. And all these things shall be added unto you. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So where is this kingdom? Is it in heaven? Well, we think it's in heaven. We believe we're going to the kingdom of God one day. But do you believe that the kingdom of God is right here in your heart? Amen? We're looking at the time is fulfilled. By the way, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule in the hearts and minds of all who are willing to submit to the authority of God. Did you get that? The kingdom of God is a spiritual rule in the hearts and minds of all who are willing to submit to the authority of God. So the kingdom of God is here on this earth, in your heart. And as we're going to look into the time is fulfilled, we're going to see that it is important and imperative that we understand that today. Go with me to Matthew. We're here at Mark. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Are you there? Matthew chapter 3. Amen? Starting at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came preaching repentance and to prepare for the kingdom of heaven. Turn with me to John. Let's go. Let's set this foundation of the time is fulfilled. Go with me to John. John chapter 1. Are you there? John chapter 1, look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This was Jesus. John came to bear witness of Jesus. Go back to Matthew. We're setting the foundation of the time is fulfilled. Are you there? Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, this is John, and Sadducees, came to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Continuing, verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Verse 10, "And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire." Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Verse 15. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus came to preach this gospel of the kingdom. He came to fulfill what he came for. And so as I started to look at these scriptures, I started to realize I need to understand this more clearly. Why did Jesus come? What was his purpose? And the desire for ages brought it and made it very clear to me. I want to read from the Desire of Ages, page 111. And this was at his baptism. Jesus is now coming up out of the water. Jesus bowed in prayer on the river bank. A new and important era was opening before him. He was now upon a wider stage, entering on the conflict of his life. Though he was the Prince of Peace, his coming must be as the unsheathing of a sword. The kingdom he had come to establish was the opposite of that which the Jews desired. What did the Jews desire him to do? He wanted him to be the what? World of kingdom. He wanted, the Jews wanted him to, for temporal prosperity. Isn't that right? That's what the Jews expected. But it was the opposite what the Jews desired. He was the foundation of the ritual and economy of Israel. He would be looked upon as an enemy and a destroyer. He who had proclaimed the law upon Sinai would be condemned as a transgressor. He had come to break the power of Satan and would be denounced as Beelzebub. So Jesus came to this world to break the power of Satan. And Jesus is saying in verse 15 of Matthew, suffer it be now, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. I want to read a statement that Ellen White writes. She says, the time had now come, when Satan's empire over the world was to be contested. All during this time before Christ, it was not contested. People were sinning. People were falling. Something was not right with the world. And Jesus had come for one purpose, to break the power of Satan. And he's saying, now is the time fulfilled. And Ellen White makes it even more clear. His right was to be disputed. And he feared that his power would be broken. Satan knew through prophecy that a savior was predicted and that his kingdom would not be established in earthly triumph and with worldly honor, and it would be deployed. He knew that the prophecies foretold a kingdom to be established by the Prince of Heaven. A kingdom will be established where? In your hearts. I used to think the kingdom of God is in heaven, which is right. I believe that. But as I started to study even closer, I realized that the kingdom of God starts here. Do you realize, as Brother Sam was saying, that perfection starts here? The kingdom of God starts in your hearts when the character of God is perfectly reproduced in his people. Then he will come and claim them as his own. Christ, with longing desire, is waiting for the manifestation of his character among his people. It starts here, and Christ came to break the power of Satan. She continues. She says, this kingdom would embrace all the kingdoms of the world, and then the power and glory of Satan would cease. And he would receive his retribution for the sins he had introduced into the world and for the misery he had brought upon the human race. He knew that everything which concerned his prosperity was depending upon his success or failure in overcoming Christ with his temptations. And he brought to bear on the Savior every artifice of his command to allure him from his integrity. So the devil wanted to destroy Christ, and he did everything possible to overcome him. Time had come for Christ to break the fetters of Satan. Amen? The Desire of Ages, page 232. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This was the call of Christ. The time which he declared to be fulfilled was the period made known by the angel Gabriel to Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And this was referring to the 70 weeks. Are you there? You see, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, John came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. You can find that in Maranatha, page 18. But it also referred to the time of the 70 weeks. And I know for sure that many of you have studied the 2300 day prophecy. Found in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. But also referring to the 70 weeks. Look at verse 24 of Daniel 9, 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish what? To finish transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. We know that the 70 weeks, according to the 2300 days, started at 457. And it ended when? 34 AD. 70 weeks. And here, the Bible is telling us that the scriptures tell us that that the people upon the holy city to finish transgression. Come a time in our life that we need to stop sinning. We're living in that time period. And then it says to make an end of sin. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. To be reconciled. To reconcile with God and your fellow men. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But it also says in verse 18, for God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We are not going to study the 2300 day prophecy, but I want to look at verse 24 with a magnifying glass this morning, because sometimes when we go through the 2300 day prophecy, we read it quickly and we don't break down these words which apply to you and I for the time that we're living in this morning. I really want to look at reconciliation this morning. We're not going to have time to finish, but I want to look at it from this point on, because we all know and understand that to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Be reconciled. God is giving us the ministry of reconciliation, and we need to be reconciled. Daniel 9:24, look at it again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Let's look at the word transgression. What does that word transgression mean? Sin is the transgression of God's law. Transgressing. What is the word Reconciliation, what the word sin mean? What is sin? Sin is, for the wages of sin is death. Reconciliation is to make right with God. To reconcile with your fellow man. You know, this is very, very serious time we're living in. I was talking to a pastor, and he had to go ahead, and his wife was going to bring me to the church because he had the early service. And so as I started to talk with his wife started to tell me about their older daughter. And what has happened between them. He told me not to tell anyone. I'm not telling anybody. Because you guys don't know who he is. It doesn't matter. My point is, the wife started to tell me that they haven't seen their grandkids for a long time. I said, why? And she went ahead and told me why, and because there was no reconciliation. To be reconciled with family members, to be reconciled with co-workers, to be reconciled to your fellow man. We sometimes overlook reconciliation. Oh, he hurt my feelings, so therefore I'm not going to be reconciled with him. The Bible is very clear. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I've shared this before, but I want to instill it this morning a little bit further. Because this is important. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. We are living in the anti-typical day of atonement. This is a serious time. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be what? Reconciled to thy brother. And then come out, come and offer thy gift. To be reconciled. Go back to Daniel. Verse 24. Let's go back to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. I looked at the word determined and I did a little study on what that word actually means. It literally signifies to be cut off. The word here translated determined means cut off. 70 weeks representing 490 years are declared by the angel to be cut off as especially pertaining to the Jews. And there's a correlation here between the Jews and where we are in our spiritual life today. It has a dual application. As you can find this in the destruction of Jerusalem in the Great Controversy, chapters 1. But from what were they cut off? As the 2300 days was the only period of time mentioned in chapter 8, it must be the period from which the 70 weeks were cut off. The 70 weeks must be therefore part of the 2300 day, and the two periods must begin together. So I went to look that up. I went to look that up. In the Desire of Ages, page 234. The Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. While the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. God has given these things to us, and His blessings will attend to the reverent, the prayerful study of the prophetic scriptures. We're not going into depth this morning, but I want to bring out the certain things that we need to understand that applies to us in a spiritual sense to prepare for the coming of our Lord and Savior. So as the message of Christ's first advent announced the kingdom of His grace, so the message of His second advent announces the kingdom of His glory. I don't want to lose you folks. The kingdom of His glory. Let me read that again. It announces the kingdom of His glory. As the message of Christ's first advent announced the kingdom of His grace. And did the Jews understand that when He first came? They didn't understand Him. No one understood Him, why He came. So the message of His second advent announces the kingdom of His glory. You know that glory? It's found in Revelation chapter 14. Go with me there. Go to Revelation 14. This is one you already know, but we're just reviewing. 14. Look at verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. So how do you give glory to Him? When God is trying to show us His glory, His kingdom, and His glory. It is His character revealed in each of us. His character. His thoughts and His feelings. Because His thoughts and feelings combined make up that moral character. So the first angel's message says, give God glory. And Christ has come to announce the kingdom of His glory. And what is kingdom again? According to the pen of inspiration, the kingdom of God is all who submits to the authority of God as their rule. It's a spiritual rule. In the hearts and lives of each soul, each man and woman, that allows God to rule in their hearts. It's a spiritual rule. That is the kingdom. And Christ came to announce His kingdom. His glory. His kingdom. So Christ is saying to us this morning that to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking Christ first. To seek Him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. Yeah? Isaiah chapter 55 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. To seek God is our first duty. Seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual rule in the hearts and lives of all who allows Christ to reign supremely in their lives. And then it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what are these things that will be added unto you? Go with me to 2 Peter. Go with me. We're looking at the time being fulfilled. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us some things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Divine power. He wants to give us divine power that pertain unto life and godliness. Christ came to break the shackles of the devil. He wants to give it to you and I this morning. He wants to give us divine power. That's what Jesus came to bring to the Jews. But they didn't accept Him. They didn't understand Him. How about us this morning? He wants to give us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. The glory of God, His character revealed in us. That's what He wants to give us this morning. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, but that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. So what does that mean, divine nature? Let me share this with you. These are the great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, you know what a divine nature is? Divine nature is good, gentle, righteous, merciful, forgiving, long-suffering, patient. I need help on patience. Patient. Joyful. Self-controlled. You have self-control? Faithful. Kind. Are you kind? Am I kind? Lord, help me to be kind. Honest. And above all, loving. This is the divine nature Christ came to bring to this world. And no one understood Him. No one. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Desire of Ages, 549. You see, in the kingdom of God, position, this is 549, Desire of Ages. In the kingdom of God, position is not gained through favoritism. It is not earned, nor is it received through an arbitrary bestowal. It is the result of character. The Lord revealed to John what is the condition of nearness in His kingdom. To him that overcometh, Christ said, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And am set down with my Father in His throne. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. So the kingdom of God is someone that can overcome sin. You can find that in Revelation chapter 3. It says it seven times in that chapter, him that overcometh. Him that overcometh. Him to him that overcometh. To overcome. Overcome what? Overcome the devil? And that's why the time had now come when Satan's empire over the world was to be contested. Christ came to contest the devil. He said, now is the time. The time is fulfilled. And that time of fulfilling is, he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ has a clarion call this morning. Clarion call. To end transgression. To end sin. And to be reconciled for iniquity. You know, as I started to look into my own heart, my own life, there were some things in my life that I needed to be reconciled. And God is still working in my heart. Amen? Still working in my heart. I remember when my father was in the hospital and I didn't know how long he had to live. It wasn't very good prognosis. My father he was in total care. And the Lord spoke to me one morning and he says, go make right with your dad. What? And I realized I needed to be reconciled with my father. And so I went to the hospital that evening and there were too many people there. And I said, no, I couldn't talk to him now. I need to go when no one's around. And I went the next morning and I went to see my father. No one was there and I ran into his room and I said, Pa, how are you doing, Pa? Good boy. My father always called me boy. He didn't call me by my name. I've never heard him call me by my name. He always called me boy. And I said, Dad, Pa, I got something I want to tell you. And he says, what, boy? I said, remember, you used to have a jar of quarters in your room. He had a lot of quarters in his jar. And I used to go in there and take 50 cents and put it in my pocket and went out. I come back the next day, I grab another 50 cents and put it in my pocket. He had so much quarter, I don't think he counted it. You couldn't even tell I took 50 cents. Oh, remember that? You had all those quarters? Yeah. I was stealing from you. Pa, will you forgive me for stealing from you? He goes, I know you, boy. I knew. I already forgave you. I cried. Because I needed to be reconciled with my father. And God has started to take me down this path in reconciliation. To make right. Because the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. This is the time now in world history, in earth history, that we need to be right with God and our fellow man. To have the divine nature. That's why the Lord revealed to John what is the condition of nearness in his kingdom. To him that overcometh. Be right. With God. Living in a time where I spoke on a sermon where it says that your case is coming up. Each of us have a case that's pending this morning. And we need to understand where our position is. Bible says in Leviticus chapter 23 that we need to afflict our soul to look and examine our hearts whether we are in the faith to prove ourselves. We need to know the position and the work that is entrusted to you and I. Preparing for the time that is coming. No one knows. None of us know. I don't even know when probation will end. No one knows. We're all going to be living in that time when the Bible says in Revelation 22:11, it is the final irrevocable decision. No one knows. Every day I have to live my life like it's my last day. Amen? For some people, God allows them to rest. They have time to reconcile. And for some, there won't be time. We don't know how much time. Tells us. In Maranatha 2:47, the subject sheds great light on our present position, and it gives us unmistakable proof that God has led us in our past experience. We're living in that time of the great day of atonement, and God is telling us to come up higher and still higher. I'd like to read from the Desire of Ages. The one who stands nearest to Christ will be he who on earth has drank most deeply of the spirit of his self-sacrificing love. Love that vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love that moves the disciple as it moved our Lord to give all, to live and labor and sacrifice even unto death for the saving of humanity. We heard a sermon by Elder Sam this morning on compassion. He brought it home to each of us in our spiritual life. And here Ellen White is telling us the Spirit was made manifest in the life of Paul. For to me is to live for Christ. For his life was revealed Christ to men. To die is to gain, gain to Christ. Death itself would make manifest the power of his grace and to gather souls to him. Christ shall be magnified in my body, he said, whether it be life or by death. When the ten heard the request of James and John, they were much displeased. The highest place in the kingdom was just what every one of them were seeking for himself. We wanted to be next to Christ. Problem with them is they didn't understand. They didn't understand. The time is fulfilled. The day is at hand. And Christ is calling us this morning to repent and to believe the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the law exemplified in character. True character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the true principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Going back to 1:11 of the Desire of Ages. Jesus had come to break the power of Satan and denounced him. No one upon earth had understood him, and during his ministry, he must walk alone. No one understood him. Throughout his life, his mother and his brothers did not comprehend his mission. Even his disciples did not understand him. He dwelt in eternal light as one with God, but his life on earth must be spent in solitude. As one with us, he must bear the burden of our guilt and woe. The sinless one must feel the shame of sin. The peace lover must dwell with strife. The truth must abide with falsehood, purity with vileness. Every sin, every discord, every defiling lust that transgression had brought was torture to his spirit. Alone he must tread the path. Alone he must bear the burden upon him. Upon him who had laid off his glory and accepted the weakness of humanity. The redemption of the world must rest. He saw and felt all, but his purpose remained steadfast. Upon his arm depended upon the salvation of the fallen race. We're all fallen. We're all lost. We're all made captives. Each of us were made captives. Upon his arm depended the salvation of the fallen race. And he reached out his hand to grasp the hand of omnipotent love. My little brain cannot comprehend this. I have to read it over and over and over again to even grasp what I'm trying to read. When Jesus called, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's calling us this morning. He's calling you and I. And that's why Paul could say, I am now ready to be offered. Turn with me there. Go to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Are you there? I have fought a good fight. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The time is fulfilled. And here Paul is saying, the time of my departure is at hand. Jesus is calling. And Paul is saying, now I am ready. I'm ready to be offered. Get his head chopped off. Paul is saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Ellen White makes it very more clear in Reflecting Christ, where it says, from these holy men who from century to century have borne testimony for their faith, he hears the assurance that God is true. His fellow apostles who preached the gospel of Christ went forth to meet religious bigotry and heathen superstition, persecution and contempt. Mind you, you and I will be facing all of this. If not now, I know for sure we're going to be meeting up with it. Persecution, contempt, who counted not their lives dear unto themselves that they might bear aloft the light of the cross amidst the dark mazes of infidelity. These he hears witnessing to Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, from the rack to the stake, the dungeons, from the dens of the caves of the earth, there falls upon the martyr's shout of triumph. He hears the witness of a steadfast soul who, though destitute, afflicted, tormented, yet bear fearless, solemn testimony for their faith, declaring, I know whom I believed. Like John, he witnessed Jesus. In Mark, in John chapter 1, he saw the light. He saw it. The yielding up of their lives for their faith. Are you ready to lose your life for your faith? I don't think we understand that. losing our lives for our faith? What you believe as a Seventh-day Adventist? Huh? Yielding up their lives for the faith. Declare to the world that He in Him, in whom they have trusted, is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost. Ransomed by the sacrifice of Christ, washed from sin in His blood, and clothed in His righteousness, Paul has the witness in himself that his soul is precious in the sight of his Redeemer. Is your soul precious in the sight of the Redeemer? Amen? His life is hid with Christ in God, and he is persuaded that he who has conquered death is able to keep that which is committed to his trust. His mind grasps the Savior's promise. I will raise him up at the last day, John 6:40. His thoughts and hopes are centered on the second coming of his Lord. Like the trumpet peal, his voice has rung out through all the ages since, nerving with his own courage thousands of witnesses for Christ, and wakening in thousands of sorrow-stricken hearts the echo of his triumphant joy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give me at that day. The time is fulfilled, my brothers and sisters. We're living in a time now where we can see all the signs in this world that is fast fulfilling. Go back to our opening text this morning in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Now after that, verse 14, and now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual rule in every heart and lives of all who allow the authority of God to rule in their hearts. The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. May the Lord bless the reading of the word this morning, that we can understand, when we studied the 2300 day, the 70 week prophecy, has an application for all of us here this morning, to make an end of sin, transgression, and reconciliation for iniquity. You see, iniquity is when you know it's wrong and you continue to do it. That's what iniquity is. So may God bless us today as we study. I just touched on a little bit this morning. Study for yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning I want to make an appeal. My appeal is, how many of you this morning want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Amen. Let us all kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your words this morning. Lord, we went quickly, but I pray that you will place it in each heart today, that they will search it for themselves to understand what does it really mean to have the kingdom of God in our hearts. To search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This morning we come humbly before you. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we may be accounted worthy. We know that we see the signs all around this world, Lord, that your coming is imminent. So, Lord, I pray that you will keep us faithful, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Keep us faithful. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.